things that you know we're talking about here is what is one thing that we know, or what are some things that we know about the 49ers through this first month? You know, and you brought up his name earlier. What is wild to me is what we know right now through the first 4 weeks is the best wide receiver on the 49ers right now is Juwan Jennings. And that's wild to me.
Yeah, that's because, fair to say.
Because Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, between the two of them, are making about $55 million between the two of them for this season. It, again, an average annual value. Mm-hmm. And Juwan Jennings is, like you said, making $3.5 million or whatever. But I think unequivocally through the first 4 weeks, Juwan Jennings has been the best wide receiver on this team. And I think he was the best wide receiver on the field yesterday as well.
You know, when you look at catch percentage for the Niners receivers and what catch percentage is, it's your receptions divided by your targets. Kittle's at 88.2%. Jennings is at 77.8%. Juszczyk is at 70%. Debo's at 66.7%. Ayuk is at 52%. I went back and looked at last year. Debo's similar to what he was last year. Ayuk was at about 72% last year. So it's been a lot worse with Ayuk. Mm-hmm. Jennings, he's got 21 catches on 27 targets for 364 yards. Coming into Monday Night Football, he's third in the NFL in receiving yards. The two guys ahead of him are Malik Nabers, who has 386, and Nico Collins, who has 489. Nabers has 52 targets. Collins has 43 targets. So
wild.
Nabers has almost double the targets that Jennings does. Mm-hmm. Collins has a lot more targets. Collins also has a lot more yards. Collins is having an amazing season. But yeah. Collins is one of those guys who got paid, and he's playing like a and number one performing. Receiver.
Yeah.
And he got Justin paid on Jefferson, time. Excuse me. Justin Jefferson got paid. He's playing like Justin Jefferson. CeeDee Lamb got paid. He's still putting up big numbers. All these guys came back in now. Amon-Ra St. Brown, maybe had one, I think his first game of the season, he wasn't good. But since then, has two games, he's been himself again. Ayuk needs to do that. He needs to come in. And I thought they were going to feature him in this game. Mm-hmm. I was a little surprised that they didn't. He had that early catch that was a long one. I said, all right, this is going to be an Ayuk game. Like, he's going to get 4 or 5 passes. And I think on Purdy's interception, I think he did try to force him the ball in the end zone. It looked that way to me. Whether that's, again, just to get him a tutty or whatever, I have no idea. But he definitely forced the ball. But until he has a couple breakout games, the fans aren't really happy with him right now. The fan base is not. So it's going to keep happening for him.
I will say this, right? Part of why Juwan Jennings has had the season that he's had is because teams are – They're going into the game going, we're going to stop Brandon Ayuk, right? He's been the focal point of who the defense is trying to stop in the passing game. And even if you throw on the film against the Rams, right? Ayuk did not have a good statistical game, but oftentimes Juwan Jennings was wide ass open because the Rams were doubling Brandon Ayuk. So, you know, when it comes to judging how a wide receiver is affecting the offense, it's not always just counting stats, right? Like, we can't just look at counting stats, but as a casual fan, that's what you're going to look at. And even as a fantasy football fan or, you know, whatever, you're watching the game and going, Brandon Ayuk is not getting catches. Brandon Ayuk is not getting targets. I mean, he's getting targets, but he's not, you know, he's not getting catches. That's the point.
Right.
And
you just hit on it.
Yeah. And so
for a casual fan, they don't give a shit if he's open on film.
Right.
The casual fan is looking on this saying, this dude hasn't more than 48 yards in 4 games. So people can show clips on Twitter and be pissed and say like, hey, look, he got open here. Mm-hmm. Most of the fan base isn't on social media looking at game film. They watch the game on Sunday and they go do what the hell they're ever going to do. And they're like, our $30 million receiver's got 168 yards this year. Yeah. That's what a lot of the casual fans it's how they watch football. You know, my father's 70? Today's his birthday, actually. What is he, 71, 72 years old?
Oh, sorry, happy birthday, Papa Sacco.
But he doesn't give a shit about film. He's an old school football guy. He's like, he's a Colts fan. He's like, Anthony Richardson can't throw the ball straight. I don't give a shit about why. Just throw the ball straight. You know, like, a lot of people aren't, I'm Stephen Ruiz on the Ringer, and I'm going to go tell you why Trevor Lawrence doesn't suck because I looked at the film. Trevor Lawrence sucks, okay? Like, stop trying to make Trevor Lawrence – like, he sucks. Maybe someday he won't suck, but right now he sucks. So there's this derivative of fans that looks at film and is on Twitter and all these other things, and there's a large portion of them that don't give a shit. They just want to watch the game on Sunday, and they want their $30 million receiver to have 100 yards and a touchdown.
Right.
Sorry, that's it's not fair, maybe, but that's life.
Yeah, and it's not fair, but that, like you said, that is life. And again, if Brandon Ayuk is going to be chronically online, which he is, you know, he's going to run into stuff like that. And, you know, like you said, the majority of the fan base is not on Twitter. But what I would say is a lot of the fan base that is going to be pissed is on Twitter because, you know,
the loudest.
Some of the comments, you know, that I've seen are just out of hand. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, this was the first time though for me where I was like, I'm a little irritated by some of these antics, and I just hope that as the season progresses, you know, things really start to die down. But like you said, really the only way that they're going to is by putting up the numbers that we expect him to put up at $30 million a year, and it'll be interesting to see how long it takes before that starts to happen.
I think another thing we know through four games is that we have no idea when Christian McCaffrey is coming back. Adam Schefter actually said that today, is that nobody really knows. You know, Kyle had mentioned they'd hoped that he could start ramping things up this week. He was just in Germany, man. He just went to Germany because things weren't happening for him. Obviously, he wants to get on the field. Obviously, the Niners want him on the field. The fans want him in the field. He was the best offensive player in the league last year. He makes a huge difference. I don't know that he's going to be back anytime soon. I feel like the best thing we could hope for right now is to come back with enough time to ramp himself up for the playoffs, whether that's game 11, game 12, whatever it is, he can get his legs underneath him. And then hopefully the Niners are in the playoffs. He can come back and be himself for those games where they can ride him again. I don't think we're going to see McCaffrey in October. I hope Thanksgiving, maybe that's kind of where my head's at with it. And I don't know anything. That's just reading the situation.
Right.
They're going to have to find out a lot about themselves without him. And maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise, because what they are finding out is this quarterback they're about to pay a lot of money to, can he do it on his own? Or not on his own, but without McCaffrey there. So far, he has. But in terms of Christian, we don't know. He's an older running back. He's coming off something that looks to be serious. It's been lingering for a long time, and the Niners may have to get used to life without him for a while.
Yeah, what we do know is, like you said, he is not going to be back anytime soon. But to me, what we also know is that Jordan Mason is more than capable of filling in for him, especially on the ground, and especially with volume, right? Obviously he's younger than Christian McCaffrey. I think where the 49ers are missing Christian McCaffrey the most is on third down. And I think this is where we need to see the offense start to pivot a little bit. I think they need to start. I think with Christian McCaffrey, you're not all that concerned with how many yards you get on first or second down, because as long as you're in third and manageable, you feel comfortable with Christian McCaffrey on the field that you're going to be able to pick up that third down. I think without McCaffrey, you got to start looking at, we got to pick up bigger chunks on first and second down so that it's third and short, right? Where we have more in our arsenal on third and short than we do on third and eight, because again, they don't trust Jordan Mason in the same way that they do Christian McCaffrey in the passing game. And I think that's their biggest, that's the biggest fall off to me with McCaffrey not on the field is their third down conversion rate. And they have struggled in that a little bit. And so it's obviously important to get McCaffrey back. He's an important part of this offense. You could argue that Kyle Shanahan has designed this offense around Christian McCaffrey when it comes to, you know, play design and things like that. So obviously not having him is a big deal for Kyle. But the other thing that I think is you could argue might be good is that this also forces Kyle to adapt a little bit when it comes to play design, play calling, things like that, where, you know, he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey to fall back on. He's going to have to start getting back to kind of some of that creative stuff that we saw from him, especially early in his tenure in San Francisco, when he didn't have the level of talent that he had over the past, you know, couple seasons. So, but I mean, hats off to Jordan Mason, you know, 91 rushing attempts on the season, through the first four games is insanity, right? He's getting 20 attempts a game, you know, damn near, 23 actually. But
which also isn't super sustainable.
It's not sustainable. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But
especially the way with how hard he runs and he runs the contact. Like at some point, too, they may have to back off there. But Garendo, he fumbled the kickoff. You know, Kyle made. He may be kidnapped somewhere right now. Who knows where he is? If you know, it's so maybe Taylor starts getting some run at running back. I don't know, but they do have to, just the way they had to ease, you know, the load off McCaffrey. I think they will have to do that off Mason at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I think now is where the IR status of
Mitchell
really hurts. Yeah.
Yeah, because you want somebody that you trust to get, you know, 5 or 6 carries or whatever it would be.